This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good value, big upside.
Good morning, buddy. I love your show, man. I'm happy for you. I couldn't be more happy for you, man. Couldn't be more happier. I just like you in general, man. And I follow you on Twitter. I just couldn't be more happier for you, man. There's a lot of people out there that just can't accept facts. People like you that give it to them. That just couldn't be more happier for you.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
40 minutes past the hour. DA with you on CBS Sports Radio. And the PGP is out, the show about the show within the show, the Permission Granted Podcast, our arm programming, if you will. This week, Mraz talks to the one and only Hurricane Jen. Hurricane Jen got her nickname by blowing in like a hurricane, leaving a wake of destruction in her path and leaving you completely disoriented after the phone call. And the chat with Mraz went exactly like that for 12 minutes.
I was drunk, and I appreciate that.
So you can listen to the PGP, a Side B Permission Granted Profile with Hurricane Jen, available right now all places podcasts are, including radio.com and iTunes. Joining us here on the show ahead of tonight, game number 6 of the NBA Finals, is our friend, longtime NBA insider and scribe, Sean Devaney. Sean, good morning. How you doing?
DA, great to talk to you again.
You too, my man. Thanks so much for joining us. Let's start with the basketball side of things here. What would it take for the Warriors to win 2 games without Kevin Durant?
Well, I think they need a little help from the Raptors because the Warriors' game plan in this thing has clearly been, put Iguodala on Kawhi Leonard, let him do his thing, send help when you can, and try to push down. You know, he's going to get his points, but try to push down that field goal percentage and force other guys to make shots. And the problem the Warriors have had is that those other guys have been making shots, and they really weren't consistently throughout the playoffs. So the Warriors made a bet on that, and at least through the first 4 games, it was mostly a losing bet. But they're going to need the Raptors, some of those players, Gasol, for instance, to sort of revert to the mean and go back to the same sort of struggles he had earlier in the playoffs. That's one thing. The other thing is, look, you gotta harness some of the emotion that you're going to have here in Game 6. With the stuff with Kevin Durant, obviously, there's a certain pull that way. With the stuff of this being the final game at Oracle Arena, there's going to be a lot of pull toward over emotion. They've got to be able to manage that. Of course, this is a team that's pretty well battle tested, but they've never really faced anything like this in terms of the downer that Durant is, and the upper that the last game at Oracle is. So I think that's the other thing for them, is they've got to be able to manage the emotions and manage this game tonight.
So speaking of the Durant injury, that morning I said Kevin Durant's not playing in this game, that this is a game of chicken. There's no way he would come back to play in this series, having missed all of this time. Of course, I was wrong. The Warriors bet on it wrong. Were you surprised that he played at all, or did you expect him to play in Game 5?
I expected him to play mostly because I thought it was a minor calf strain that they were just being very careful with. Obviously, it was a much more serious calf strain that put the Achilles at risk. And knowing that in retrospect, then I'd say, yeah, I probably shouldn't have played. Again, it's easy to say that in retrospect. But, you know, he'd had 4 weeks off, and typical for that injury is somewhere around 5-6 weeks. So, maybe he pushed it to come back. He wanted to play, you know, and you know, part of a team's duty is to force a player not to play when they feel it's not in his best interest. But if he was convincing them that he was okay, that the pain wasn't there, then you can see why Golden State let up on that. You know, a lot of finger pointing in the aftermath, obviously. But I think it's easy to do that with the benefit of hindsight.
Sean Devaney joins us, NBA insider, ahead of tonight's game number 6. If Kawhi Leonard finishes this thing off, can you think of a comparison historically of a one-man wrecking crew doing this much to lead a team to a championship? I mean, LeBron was amazing in all of those finals, but he certainly had, in my mind, more help than what Kawhi has at a higher level. Has there been a one-man wrecking ball like Kawhi has been?
It's certainly not something that we've seen a whole lot of. You know, I would think back to you'd have to go to 1974-75 with the Warriors and Rick Barry and what he was able to do for that team in the playoffs, you know, averaging 30 points. And I think the next best player was, I'm looking it up actually, so I'm going to cheat here, is Jamal Wilkes, averaged 11. Phil Smith averaged 10. Those are the only three players on that Warriors team in the finals that averaged double figures. So it was Rick Barry with 30, Wilkes with 11, Phil Smith with 11. And that was it. So that might be the only comparison that I can think of off the top of my head. You just don't usually see something like that at this level, you know, at the level of the finals. So, yeah, I think you'd have to go back, 40-plus years to find, I think, anything that compares to what Kawhi is doing.
That Mavs team that ended up beating the Heat was Dirk and then a lot of really good players, but no really great players, next-level players, and maybe that's a fair comparison for this Toronto team?
Yeah, I would say that's probably a good one as well.
But the thing is that Dirk didn't have to do as much as Kawhi is doing. Dirk's postseason wasn't as destructive as this one for Kawhi, right?
That's right, and like you said, Dirk did have some pretty good. So I mean, Jason Terry, that was sort of his peak. You know, during those finals, during that playoff run, he was really, really good. You know, Sean Marion, obviously, what Tyson Chandler did defensively. But it's a good comparison, though. But I would say that compared to where Kawhi is, Dirk probably had more help.
What do you think is the future for the Warriors if they lose tonight? What type of Warriors team do you expect next season?
I expect them to look more like they did before they got Kevin Durant, to look like that type of team. Don't forget they won 73 games. I think the problem for them is the team that won 73 games had a pretty good bench, and this bench is old. You know, with Iguodala and Sean Livingston, some of the younger guys haven't quite come along. You know, McKinney's been pretty good, but, you know, is he really a sixth man for a championship caliber team? Not really. Quinn Cook, you know, I mean, they've got some okay pieces on that bench, but that's going to be a real problem. And they had Harrison Barnes on that team, and he wasn't a great player, sure, but you know, he's a guy who is a very capable scorer. They don't really have a replacement for that. So you know, they will certainly look more like that team in terms of Steph and Klay Thompson, but they won't be nearly as deep, and I think that could really be something that hurts them. So I'll be interested to see what they're able to do. They're going to be well over the luxury tax once they pay Klay Thompson, which I think they will. I think there's a little doubt that he's going to stay there. So they're going to have to, you know, find a way to play like they did in 2014-15 and find some pieces that can fill the gaps. Like I say, the bench and Harrison Barnes, those gaps that are there now, they have to find ways to fill those. If they can't, you know, this is not going to be a championship caliber team.
Do you think that DeMarcus Cousins is a positive or a liability for the Warriors tonight?
I think he's a positive. You know, he's played better at home for one thing. And I think that, with Durant out, and kind of having that settled, having that whole thing settled, And having Boogie has now a couple games under his belt, he had a lot of rust to shake off as well. I think that they'll test him early. They're going to run things through him early and figure that out. And if things are going well, they're going to keep riding it. If not, they're going to pull back, and you'll see a lot more of Looney or Jordan Bell or other guys. But they're going to. I think you'll see. You'll know that within the first 6 to 8 minutes of the game, judging by how much Kerr is running things through Boogie. If he's doing it a lot and continues to do it, then he's liking what he sees, and he's going to have a big game. If not, I'd expect Kerr to pull the plug on it pretty quick.
NBA insider Sean Devaney joins us this morning on the show. Kyrie Irving leaves his longtime agent, now joins Roc Nation. There's a lot of Brooklyn Nets ties there. What do you think the biggest reason is that Kyrie Irving would leave Boston?
I think that it's a bad fit on a personality level. I think his personality didn't really mesh with the coach, didn't really mesh with the front office, didn't mesh with a lot of the young players there who they value. So if they wind up keeping the young players, and this is where everything gets convoluted and connected, that depends on what happens with Anthony Davis, whether they're willing to take that chance. If they keep the young players, then I don't think there's any way they can keep Kyrie as well. I think he came in, he wanted to be a leader. He wanted to show he could run a team. He wanted to show he could be the A number one. And the problem is that he hasn't really learned how to do that. He hasn't learned how to manage a locker room. He hasn't learned how to approach practices. And you don't have to be a nice guy. You just have to be able to really get guys behind you. And whatever your personality is that brings that out in other guys, you've got to accentuate that. And I just don't think that Kyrie knows what that is right now. And he might not have it. He might not just be that kind of guy. He might be, as he was with the Cavaliers, best off playing with a guy like LeBron rather than having to be a number one himself.
What is the reason that the Celtics, what's the thinking behind the Celtics wanting to get Anthony Davis, even if AD's people say he's only going to be there for 1 year because he doesn't want to be there long term? Why would they trade assets for him?
Yeah, I think Kevin Garnett. I think that for Danny Ainge, I think the Kevin Garnett experience looms large. And remember when they traded for him, it took a lot of arm twisting for Kevin Garnett to say, okay, I'll go to Boston. They made the trade for Ray Allen at the draft in June, and it wasn't until I think it was August, around early August, that they finally got a Kevin Garnett trade done, that he was okay with it, and Minnesota was able to get him to sort of sign off on it, which is something they wanted, and they were able to complete that trade. Kevin Garnett did not want to come to Boston. He did not want to play in Boston. He did not want to be with the Celtics. But he came here, and after 1 year, of course, he fell in love with the city. They won a championship, fell in love with the fans, and he's probably going to wind up with his number retired despite playing just a few years in Boston. So I think that for Danny Ainge, that experience kind of remains in the front of his head, and he thinks, if I can get Anthony Davis, we'll do what we did with Kevin Garnett. He'll fall in love here, and no matter what his agent says, he's going to want to stay. So I think that's the big reason is that Danny Ainge, was taught pretty early in his tenure that if you have a chance to get a player like that, you just do it and hope everything works out afterwards.
Sean Devaney joining us this morning on the show, NBA Insider. Tonight is game number 6. Follow him on Twitter for the latest on the NBA Finals. I'm sure he'll be all over tonight's action at Sean Devaney on Twitter. Sean, it's always good to catch up, my man. Enjoy tonight's game.
Thank you, DA. Nice talking to you.
You too. Sean Devaney, our guest this morning here on the DA Show.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.